Thank you for your mercy to us and your ongoing commitment to us as well. And I pray today you would not only speak to us, but you would bless us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How marvelous. Welcome, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for coming. One notice only, which is to remind you of the Lenten tweets which have come out. You know, it's Lent at the moment, so we've got to be miserable. And on our Twitter, whatever you call it, Twitter thing every day, you know, it comes up with that. Which, Greg, do you want to come and explain? Because you understand all these things. You're young.
Jeremy, there's this thing called Twitter. And so on our Twitter handle, at St. Mags Lothbury, if you follow along, what you get is you get a link to Bible Gateway to a passage to read. We're working through the whole of Mark's Gospel through Lent. We'll end with the resurrection on Easter Sunday. It's every weekday, Monday to Friday. And then just a short prayer, which I guess is trying to unpack, but also responds to what God says in that bit of scripture. So it's kind of a reading and a prayer.
It's very fast, just right for the tube or the train. It comes to me as an email because I just don't understand it. Anyway, let me read to you, if I can, a few verses from the Bible, which gloriously I like to think I understand. You, of course, will be able to judge that within the next 5 minutes, but just don't give me any verdict afterwards. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18, on page 973. Jesus had gone to preach in the local synagogue in the town where he'd been brought up. And he took the scroll and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, a recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." First thing I thought as I read these verses, we can rely totally on God to keep his promises. This, the bulk of what I read, was a promise that God had made 500 years before he actually fulfilled it. The people who'd heard it and the people who'd read about it over the decades and the centuries, wondering when on earth this amazing promise would be fulfilled, must sometimes have thought, "Now, Lord, will you keep this promise? Was this something extra? Did Isaiah get it wrong? Should we really think about it all that much?" And then that day, 500 years later, the Lord Jesus, standing there in the synagogue in Nazareth, said, "Today, this promise has been fulfilled in your hearing." It must have been an electric moment. And the first thing God says to us, we who are Christians in the square mile today, is, "I always keep my promises." The promises I've spoken to you about through the scriptures, the promises I brought to you by gifts of the Spirit from friends and colleagues, I always keep my promises. I wonder, what are the promises from God you hold on to? And what are the promises you're thinking, "Lord, I've been waiting for this to be fulfilled for far too long"? What are the promises that you're waiting for God to fulfill? God always keeps his promises. And the second thing we read here is God always wants to bless his people. As it goes on, the verse after I finish reading, he said, "All spoke well of him," they all spoke well of Jesus, "and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips." And for years I thought, oh, well, that obviously meant he was a really persuasive, impressive, and inspiring preacher. They were really impressed by Joseph's son, the lad they'd seen growing up, and suddenly he turned into this inspiring preacher. But of course, what it really means is, I probably need hardly tell you, you probably understood it for years, well, I've been misunderstanding it, is that Jesus spoke words of grace that day. He wanted to bless the people who were there. And that is always what God wants to do in Jesus Christ. He speaks words of grace, forgiveness, acceptance, encouragement, love. The God of the second chance, who's come to us and taken the initiative with us, who never gives up and is going to stick with us and is going to bring us one day to see him face to face. He speaks words of grace to you and to me. Whatever our doubts and whatever our failures, whatever our questions, whatever our mistakes, he speaks words of grace to you and to me. He keeps his promise. He speaks words of grace, and he understands the situation in which we find ourselves. Sounds wonderful, that promise from Isaiah. It sounds just the type of phrases that I need to hear regularly. It sounds encouraging, but of course it's terribly practical. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, of which he speaks at the start of verse 19, a reference to the Jubilee year, which they'd have all understood, but we don't understand quite as well because we're not first century Jewish people living in Nazareth. He's saying, I'm interested in all the professional and financial challenges you're facing. That's what God was saying in the whole Jubilee context. I am interested and want to help. The things that challenge us every year, every day, the practical things, the professional things, financial, I'm interested in that. He talks about setting the oppressed go free. He talks to those of us who go through those times sometimes when we're disappointed with God, when we don't feel he's produced the goods, when we're wondering whether he's really hearing us, when we're not hearing his voice. He says, I want to bless you with that. I want to come to you with words of grace. I'll keep my promises in that. And then he wants to speak to those who are poor, those who are desperate for more of God. I want to proclaim good news to the poor. The Lord Jesus developed that, as we know from Matthew's gospel, about the poor in spirit. I'll keep my promises. I'll come to you in grace. I understand exactly what you're wrestling with. That's the God who comes to you and me today. That's the promise he wants to give us. So when you're faced, as I was, by those who mock what we believe, who think we're wasting our time, who don't want us to go on to it, we think, Lord Jesus, what am I doing? He says, I keep my promise. I want to bless you by coming to you in grace. And I understand exactly the challenges you face, and I want to help. And all we can do is say, Lord Jesus, we want more of you. Please help me. Please make that real to me now, so that I leave this place more confident in you than when I arrived.